your life, have you busied yourselves up with so many other things that it's really diluted the power that you have as a Christian? Has it really diluted who you really are as a son or daughter of God? Has the things of the world taken so much prominence in your life that the only reflection of Christ is that you get up on Sunday morning and show up for church? You see, for many Christians, for many in the church, that's where we're at today. Our minds are so occupied with things that God has basically become a religion to us, that we just go through the rituals and there's no power, there's no testimony, there's nothing. Oh God, today would we have revival? Would we just have revival? That we truly, as Christians, look at and examine our own life and say, listen, I know and I see these things that I've placed above God. They may not be bad things, but I put them in a bad place. I put them above God. And God is no longer priority in my life. I've placed these other things. And sometimes God has just gotten kind of caught up in the mix of those things. And because of that, our minds need to be renewed. Our minds need to regain its focus of what is really important. Our heart needs to regain focus where God really is. What about you? Renewing your mind. Are you ready to renew your mind in Christ so it won't be diluted by all the things of the world? If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. So we continue our study in the book of Romans. Paul hits home to the church today really hard that our life should be in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit with God. That our minds should be so focused on the things of God that's how we live. And because our minds are not focused, it's a reflection that the Holy Spirit is not the one truly leading us. We are leading ourselves. Church needs spiritual renewal. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Listen, Christian, the only way that we're going to live the life that God really has called us to live is if our minds are focused on the things that God wants them to be focused on. And we're filled with His Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1 through verse 11. He says, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You can underline that in your Bible. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life in your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we open ourselves up to you. Lord, we want to truly have church. God, we want to truly have worship. And God, that worship means that we're transparent with you. God, everyone in the sound of my voice, God, I pray by the power of your spirit that you penetrate to the very core of our being. And God, that you open our lives up and examine us. Open our minds up, God, to see the very things that we have placed in priority over you. God, we don't want to live diluted lives. God, we want to live powerful lives as your children, as Christians, as ambassadors in this world. Walk with us now, God. Teach us, show us, convict us, forgive us. In Christ's name, amen. 1 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Listen, this morning we have to be real with God, real with ourselves. There's some things going in our life. Oftentimes we just assimilate those, assimilate and assimilate, because we encounter so many things during the day and we don't realize how much they dilute our faith, dilute the spirit working inside of us. Our testimony gets diluted to where so many in the world look at us and they don't see anything different. We are in need of revival. Verse 9 tells us that if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I want to address something first of all before we move in any further into this. There may be someone here this morning that doesn't know Christ Jesus at all. Yeah, you may go to church. You may have your name written on a roll somewhere. People see you from time to time. But all you have is a denomination. All you have is a religion. All you have are rituals. Because Christ has made no difference in your life at all. None. There's no relationship. There's no personal relationship. So in essence, you are still lost. You have no born-again experience with Christ. You have that doubt in your life. You know right now, if the question was asked to you, are you going to heaven when you die? You cannot honestly say, yes, I'm going to heaven when I die. Because you're still basing it on your own merits and not what Christ has done for you. Not that you have a relationship and has accepted what he's done on your behalf. You're still trying to get to heaven on your own, and you're just doing a bunch of religious things to help you out to get there. You're still lost. Still lost. Jesus said many, Matthew 7:22-23, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And Jesus says this in verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus warns us that there's coming a time that we stand face to face to him. And listen, we can say that we know Jesus, but does Jesus really know us as his child, as his follower, as his disciple? See, there's a lot of people who want destiny, the heaven to be their destiny, but they really don't want to be a disciple to get there. They want to say a quick prayer, show up to church a few times, when you know, change a few things about my life, and I'm good. That's not being a disciple of Christ. Jesus died on the cross to make disciples. He gave the great commission in Matthew to go into all nations, make disciples of men and women. Make disciples. See, on Judgment Day, there will be a lot of people who realize their faith was not in Jesus, but is really invested in their own abilities. They think they are saved. Question comes, are you saved? Do you know this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, that you're God's child, that you have this relationship, that you've been born again, that heaven will be your home? Are you there without a shadow of a doubt? If there's doubt, we need to address that. You see, if there's doubt, then maybe there's some sin between you and God that you need to confess and get that out of the way. If there's some doubt, then maybe you've done some religious things and you've never really given your life to Christ. If there's doubt, because you see, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of Jesus Christ so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a guessing game. It's not a thing to be doubtful of. You may know. You see, true salvation consists of knowing Christ in a life-changing personal relationship. It is dangerous to assume that because you are a good person, that you haven't harmed anybody, you haven't committed any grave sin out there, anything that you would think that would send you to hell. It is dangerous to assume on your own merits that God would show favor on you, because that's wrong. God has already shown favor on all of us when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Do you know Jesus as your Savior today? It's not something to assume. It's something to know. Are you born again in Christ? Don't fall into the trap of thinking that everyone is a child of God. No, we're all creations of God. You've heard me say this before, and I'll repeat it over again. We're all creations of God, but only those who are in Christ Jesus are children of God, heirs to the kingdom of God. Do you know Jesus as your Savior today? Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You see, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and he testifies with our spirit that we're born again. So that when the question comes, are we saved or are we born again, the Spirit gives us confirmation, yes, we are. If we have doubts, we've quieted the Spirit somehow, we've pushed him aside, or he doesn't live in us. Are you saved today? Maybe today you need to invite Jesus to be your Savior. Maybe as we talk about this life in the Spirit today, as we talk about renewing your mind, the very thing that you need to do is, first of all, accept Christ so that he forgives you of all of your sin. And that is your revival. That's instantaneous. You go from death to life immediately. And come, listen. There's a green sheet that was shown to you earlier. Listen, if during this service you ask Christ to be as your Savior, and it's very simple to do, is you place your faith in Jesus and you just say a prayer something like this. It says, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. God, I realize that I have failed you. But God, I know that you love me. I know that you sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sin. God, I accept the payment that he gave for my sin. I give all my sin to you. Wash me clean. I give my life to you. I will be your disciple, and I will follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for coming to live in my life. And thank you for taking me to heaven when I die. In your son's name I pray, amen. Maybe that's a prayer that you would say in faith believing. And on that green sheet, you just want to check it off. Hey, I gave my life to Christ today. I want to meet with you, Brother Kevin. I want to meet with Pastor Brian. I want to meet with Sarah. I want to meet with Erica. Listen, somebody on staff. Maybe you want to meet with Michaela. Maybe you want to meet. Listen, we want to sit down with you, just walk through Scripture. 2 Corinthians says, we fight with weapons that are different from those of the world. As Christians, we fight with weapons that are different from those of the world. Today, maybe you're born again and you know that you have that experience with Christ. You know that Jesus loves you. You know that heaven is your home, but you also realize that you have not been living up to being that disciple that Christ has called you to be. You know you allow a lot of things in your mind and you get sidetracked so often on things and you begin to run off this on this tangent and run off on that tangent and your focus is really not being in Christ. Scripture says, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, we fight with weapons that are different from this world. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy people's arguments and every proud thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We capture every thought to make it give up and obey Christ. Today, the Bible's teaching us to grab all those thoughts away from those tangents, away from all those things that distract us from Christ. Take those captive to Jesus and get our focus back. See, your personal revival requires you to renew your minds, capturing every thought and examine it in the light of God's word. See, we can only be as filled with God as we're willing to be emptied of ourselves. We can only be as filled with God as much as we're willing to be emptied of me, of you. The Holy Spirit living in us demands to be sitting on the throne of our life. The only way we have power with God is if we submit ourselves to Him. What pattern of thoughts and ponderings do you need to change in your life? Be specific with God. He already knows what thoughts go through our mind. You know, that's kind of scary that God knows our thoughts already. Matter of fact, He knew what they would be before they even happened. God knows what thoughts go through our mind. All of those things. What do we need to take captive today in the power of the Holy Spirit? There are three areas of thought that we must take captive to have personal revival. And the first is this, the patterns of our thoughts. See, we're human and we are people of habit. And so we have patterns that we go through in our behavior, patterns in our thought life. That's how the devil sets us up so easily. Why? All he does is watch us. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. We go do the same thing. We get up the same time every morning except on Saturday. We sleep in 30 minutes longer. But we're people of habit. We get up, we like usually the same thing for breakfast. We'll take our shower, get dressed, go to work, same pattern over and over. We go to work, we do the same thing over and over and over again. A lot of times we wear the same type of clothes too. We're easy to figure out. The patterns in our thoughts often follow the same trails. See, Christians must evaluate the pattern of their thoughts to experience cleansing from God for personal revival. We see in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8, we just read, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's your mind. What do you think of most? What pattern of thoughts do you think of most? Are they things to please you or are they things to please God? Are they things that you know that God would want you to do in your life and to be an example and to be a disciple? What pattern of thoughts go through your mind day in and day out? Are they self-gratifying or God-gratifying? Are you plagued with unclean thoughts? Maybe you struggle with anger or worry. Christians are some worrying people, boy. We worry about everything. We worry about our kids. We worry about our bills. We worry about our job. We worry about this. We worry about that. Listen, when worry begins to alter our behavior and alter our life, when worry begins to dictate to us how we're going to act and react, it's a problem. We can be concerned about something and not be worried about it, that it alters everything. If we are concerned or worried about it, we need to be praying. God, get me out of the way because I'm trying to take control. God, get me out of the way because I'm trying to run this. You see, is jealousy and envy disrupting your life? Perhaps you've grown apathetic or lethargic about spiritual things. We can allow so many sinful patterns in our thought life. And we harbor those in our mind. And these thought patterns will change our attitude and our behaviors. Is lust a problem? Wandering eyes or impressionable emotions? We need to protect ourselves and make wise choices that we keep all of those things away and keep our focus on the good things, the things that God really wants in our life. And listen, that's a filter every day. I call it my Jesus filter. Because we encounter so many things every day, we have to have a filter in our life to run it past, to keep it going. The Bible says, get those, you know, take captive those thoughts, those patterns of thinking that are not pleasing to God. Listen, that's an everyday, 24-hour-a-day thing. Is it tiring? It can be. But look at the mess it can create when we don't. You know, we need to protect ourselves and make wise choices. We may need to change some TV shows that we're watching, some music that we're listening to. Maybe there are some things, some books and magazines that we need to avoid, and definitely keep the computer in an exposed location where other people can look over our shoulder, other people can see what we're doing. Why? That's just accountability. That's just good stuff for us. Unless you're buying your spouse a Christmas gift. Then you might want a little secrecy. So you can't stop everything from coming your way. But listen, you can stop it from landing there. You can stop it from landing in the pattern of your thoughts, in your mind. Check the thoughts and send out the ones that are sinful. Nothing will change in your thought patterns if you continue to do the same old thing over and over and over again. If you're allowing harmful things in, nothing changes. There's no revival. Our thought patterns stay selfish. Our thought patterns stay where God is not pleased with it. And we keep doing the same old thing over and over and over again. How's the old saying go? Keep doing the same old thing, expecting different results. It's called insanity. There are a lot of insane Christians walking around today. Because we want to be closer to God. We just don't want to do anything to change. We just don't want to do our part to live up to it. Thought patterns must change and be managed. The second thing we see this morning also is about our affections. So our thought patterns, if we want revival, our thought patterns, if we want to renew our minds, our thought patterns have to change, but also our affections have to change. So our thought patterns can begin to mold and shape our affections away from Christ. Whatever we continue to think about, whatever the things that are going through our mind, and we chase those patterns, we chase those pathways of thought, our affections become changed toward those. We should look at our life and keep a conscious vigil of our affections and evaluate what occupies those affectionate thoughts. Verse 6 and 7 says, the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile toward God. See, our attitude begins to change. Listen, we get on a pattern of thinking, a sinful path. The first thing we do is distance ourselves from God's people. We distance ourselves from the church. We don't want to be around God's people because the Holy Spirit is trying to get us off that pattern of thinking. And we're on that pattern of thinking because it feels good. We like it. If they had a little electric shock on it, we wouldn't be there. Sinful affections are hostile toward God, but many affections that are more powerful than our affection for God can also become hostile toward God. It may not be sinful things. Listen, do your affections revolve around people and work and recreation other than Jesus? If so, then Jesus is not Lord in the center of your life. There are many good things that we have strong affection for, and we place them above God. It could be our kids. Boy, we love our kids. You ever see a mad mama at somebody because of their kids? Whoo! How many mad Christians have I ever seen because somebody insulted Christ, though? No, we just kind of roll with it. Maybe even we've placed our husband or our wife at that very center of our life. Our world revolves around them. Listen, whatever we've placed in the center of our life, that's where our affections go. That's like the hub of a wheel going around and around and around. Whatever we place there, whoever we place there, keeps our life going around and around. And for many of us, we place a spouse there. We place our kids there. We place our grandkids there. We placed our job. We placed our career. We placed our school. Whatever it is that just keeps us going around and around and around and around. And our affections are stronger toward that than Christ. Christ is just somewhere out here on the wheel with us. Going around and around, waiting for an opportunity. And Jesus says, no, I'm your Savior and your Lord. Lord, Master means boss, means right in the middle of our life. Our lives are to revolve around Christ. Why? Because He has our affections. He has that great place in our life. For many Christians, our lives are so out of balance. And when they're out of balance, and if we place anyone in that place, anything in that place that's where God belongs, that's where our affections are. And listen, that is sin. It may not be a sinful item, but we have made it sin because we have placed it above God. That has become our God. To what or to whom do you devote the majority of your thoughts and your energy? Is God boxed in or on a shelf reserved for only Sunday morning or special needs, special occasions? When your thoughts are undisciplined and self-centered, Christ is not the true passion of your life. See, Jesus said that we're to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind and strength. Nothing else should have priority over Jesus in our life. Nothing. Today, maybe you need to confess your divided affections. Renew your mind, your heart to Christ. And the third thing is this. Not only should we monitor the pattern of our thoughts, where our affections lie, but also our improper motives. We really want revival in our life. What are our motives in life? What are our motives to befriend other people? What are our motives to go to God in prayer? See, Christians are to purify their motives for prayer and for worship. Christians offer God oral praise, but their motives are impure and improper. James 4:3 says this, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you spend what you get on your own pleasures. We ask God to take care of some things for us. Why? So we can free up money for our own benefit. We can free up things for our own profit. Not that we want to do God and work more for God and invest with God, but we want our own things taken care of. See, our prayers are voiced with improper motives. It's all too common to treat God like a shopping network or to, you know, Amazon. We just lay it out our list and send it to us, God. Here it is. I've seen people rub crosses for luck, thinking Jesus is going to respond to that. I've seen them say the Lord's Prayer like it's a good luck chant. I've seen them kiss statues, burn incense candles, all of that like God's going to respond anymore. That's superstition. When we allow superstition into Christianity, we're messing up. God doesn't need us to rub a cross to get Him to respond. He doesn't need us to light a whole bunch of candles for Him to respond. He doesn't need us to do anything but just be honest with Him. Just be open. We're His children. He knows our desires already. He knows what we need. And he gives as he sees fit the things that we can handle. You see, misguided attempts are not what God truly desires from us. God is not a magic genie that can be manipulated for our selfish wants and our own pleasures. And sadly, our worship often can be marred by our improper motives. See, Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9 says, "This people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is so far from me." See, God is displeased with our insincere worship and empty rituals. God can't be manipulated. I've seen people do things that just amaze me. They want something from somebody, so they start showing up at church like God's going to show them more favor. Election time comes around, you see more politicians sitting in church than you ever did. All looking for something from God or God's people. People go to church, you know, when rough things are going on in our marriage. I know we need to get right with God. So they come to church for a month. Things seem to iron out a little bit. You know what? You don't see them anymore. That's not what God wants. God cannot be manipulated in any way. Listen, if our thoughts are manipulate God in some way, if we think we're going to outgive God, or if we think that we're going to show up for worship and God is going to show more favor to us and grant the things that we want, wrong. God responds with obedience on our part. God will not be manipulated. You see, we must purify our motives and set our minds to be faithful to God in every aspect of our life. Listen, personal revival, that pursuit of holiness, begins with renewing our minds, purifying our thought patterns, and making sure that our affections are on Christ and keeping our motives pure. Intense pursuit of personal revival is to be a predominant priority in our Christian life. That we are following God like God really wants us to follow. Paul is addressing this to the Roman Christians. He's saying, you're doing all sorts of things, but it's not the right things. So you want to live in the Spirit of God, where the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you, directing you. And listen, that's not an outward expression. That is an inward thing that God is trying to do in your life. When God does the inward right, listen, the outward would naturally just flow out of you. The outward expressions of your faith would just naturally flow, but not just in the walls of the church. It will flow to where you are at work. It'll flow into your school. It'll flow into your family, into your home. It will just flow out of you because of what God is doing, that revival that's in you. What are your thought patterns like? Where are your affections? Who's really at the center of your life? And are you trying to manipulate God with wrong motives? Christians, we can do a lot of things trying to get God's favor. You're already in God's favor. When you accepted Christ, you're his child. Live in obedience as a disciple. What about it today? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Christian, do you need revival, true revival in your life? True revival. Where it's just you and God. Purify what you've been thinking to get you off those patterns of selfishness, but onto the life that God really wants for you. Today can be that first step, that new beginning for you. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you today for your great love. And God, we thank you today that you're so good to us. Lord, I thank you that you allow us the privilege to worship you, to come to you in prayer like this. God, as believers, God, you're not mad at us. God, it hurts. Lord, when we get sidetracked on other things. God, because you've left a commission for all of us, not just pastors, not just missionaries, not just church staff, but God, for every believer to be a disciple wherever you planted them, God. Schools and hospitals, construction site, wherever it may be. God, you planted them there to provide for their families, to make a living, to make a career. But God, they're your disciple in the workforce. They're there for a reason and for a purpose. God, let our pattern of thinking, let our focus be revived in you today. Let our affections be sold out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.